Good afternoon. Welcome to the Man in Line on Manx Radio. Call 66 1368, text 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. Whatever's on your mind today, then this is the place to let everyone else know about it. As at 4:30 yesterday, there have been 39,869 tests so far taken on the island. 437 people are awaiting tests. There were 44 new cases yesterday. We have 818 active cases on the Isle of Man, and 16 people currently in Nobles Hospital. So any thoughts on that? There is a government media briefing this afternoon at 4 o'clock. You'll hear it live on Manx Radio, AM, FM, and also on the social media channels as well. So what else is on your mind today? Jason Morehouse, MHK, joins us on the Man in Line today. Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Morehouse.
Good afternoon.
Well, good to chat with you, because one of the things that's happening in your constituency and has been brought up by quite a few people is the new housing estate, Riot Mai, in Ballasalla, and the amount of property there that is available for rent. Now, what's your side of the... how do you see things at the moment?
It's certainly an estate with several very challenging problems in terms of perhaps local need and local choice has been limited. There are certainly houses that are going on the market that are being rented out, but also there are issues in terms of other people who are wanting houses there actually being able to purchase those houses. So a lot of complications there at the moment.
Do you see the new estate there as a solution to a... was there a big problem about lack of houses in your constituency?
I think in terms of housing availability, there's always a need. People are always aspiring to get a larger house. People are downsizing. There's always that constant need to actually have a range of houses in the area that meet that need. And when those houses were starting to be built, also people had, you know, clear aspirations and dreams that that was the property that they were going to end up in. So, yeah, there was a need and also a hope that many people would actually be able to live there.
Do you think, do you have any evidence or do you know how many properties there? I think there are how many properties altogether? It's 140 or something like that. How many are advertised for rent at the moment?
I haven't actually done a breakdown of that, but there clearly are. But it's one of those situations in terms of when you get a new housing estate, developers are going to come along and want to buy up the houses to rent out, and it certainly is an issue. It's something I brought to Tynwald in December. I was quite concerned about these large property owners who are going in and buying several properties. I've no concern at all with, you know, an individual buying perhaps an additional home to rent out, but I'm concerned of the scale of what's happening on some of these estates.
So there are 135 properties altogether. Now, obviously, Mr. Morehouse, you're a former teacher. You taught at Castle Rush, so you know the aspirations of young people. Do you think that we're in danger of pricing young people out of the property market?
That is a huge concern. And again, I brought another motion to Tynwald in January, and there was unanimous support that at the moment there's this issue in terms of there's not an adequate support system for first-time buyers, but also people wanting to get their second home. There are issues there. And the key ministers, Tim Baker in infrastructure, has gone off to look at the existing schemes, and the Minister of Policy and Reform have gone off to look at the kind of the wider aspects of this area. So things are being done which will hopefully satisfy this need, because clearly there are issues.
So what do you think, how long is that going to take? Because sometimes government can be awfully slow.
Excellent, yeah. This should be out before June. The key material should be for June Tynwald, but Minister Baker did give an indication that he was hoping to bring something sooner in terms of the first-time buyer support system. So that should hopefully be here, you know, as soon after Easter as possible.
Okay, because sometimes the problem was, and we've heard it from people who've contacted us, that people fall between the two schemes. They earn too much for a government scheme and not enough to get a mortgage.
Yes, that's definitely one of the issues that has been raised. And prior to COVID, we were in quite a successful situation. A lot of people wanting to take that first step on the housing market, and they were quite surprised that even though they kind of appeared to be the perfect candidate to buy a house, what was on offer wasn't really meeting their needs. And I think, you know, we need to look at that and make sure that when things get going again, that those people have got the support that they need.
Okay. Well, that's a big situation. What else are you keeping your eye on in your constituency as a constituency MHK? Has your constituency workload changed during COVID?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of individual concerns, lots of people who are really struggling with this one. I think it was the same with the last one, that people kind of, in winter time, you've kind of got the shorter days, you've got kind of the situation in terms of the numbers, you've got the uncertainty, and yeah, there's a lot of questions being asked and a lot of people who are quite concerned about the situation.
Do you keep an eye on educational matters at the moment? You've seen the story in the news about extending the schools staying open longer for children to finish their learning. What's your initial thought on that?
Well, I think really we've been looking at it, man, because between the first and the second lockdown, we had over 200 days of normal education and normal life. And, you know, with the exception of the two recent lockdowns, there's been that some impact. I think our biggest challenge is what happens between the end of lockdown and the start of June, when those GCSE and A-level candidates have got to have the materials they need to get the grades they deserve. And I think that's going to be a challenging time for both students and teachers, because virtual learning is good, but it doesn't make up for being in the classroom and being able to give that support that, you know, we used to.
Which prompts my next and final question, Mr. Morehouse. Children are very, very adaptable. Do you think the pupils who've had their education affected by this in this past year, do you think they're going to make time up, or will there always be that COVID year that goes through the system?
I think there are going to be challenges, but also you've got these opportunities that these people have got amazing IT skills now. They've got used to virtual learning. I'm asking a question tomorrow in Tynwald about the way in which there's a support for different higher education courses. And at the moment, it's kind of the emphasis on you go across, you get support for the course there. But, you know, COVID's shown us that you can live on island and do virtual courses. And I'd be asking, you know, is there going to be a recognition that that is happening and these people want to learn in different ways? I think, you know, the future's going to be exciting because we've adapted, we've changed, and, you know, the existing mindset of education is being thrown up in the air, and everyone's learned such a lot. You know, there have been questions asked, but also lots been achieved. So, yeah, I'm really optimistic.
Okay, thanks for being with us today, Mr. Morehouse. I appreciate your time.
No worries at all. Thank you very much.
Okay, and let's go to Frieda on the man in line now. Hello, Frieda.
Hello, Andy. What I'm ringing about, I mean, I'm just a bystander. I don't drive. But it's about this tax going up, this road tax on cars and vans. Mm-hmm. What I can't understand is why aren't bicycles taxed? Now, they use the roads, they use the pavements, they're not insured. Now, I've been nearly knocked over a few times coming out of my drive, riding on the pavements. They really are a danger.
Whereabouts is this, Frieda?
I'm in Ballinard Road. Now, I've been on the crossing, and cars have stopped for me, and zoom, off comes a bicycle. They don't care. I'm not saying that they're all that, but I think from the age of 16 they should all be taxed and insured. They're using the roads, and it's not fair to car drivers and van drivers that they should pay extra tax when they're using the roads for nothing.
So have you ever ridden a bicycle, Frieda?
No, I never have. I never have. Never. Never, oh. Because it never appealed to me when I mean, I'm 86 nearly, and it never really appealed to me because I was always a walker. And then when we were young, there wasn't so many bicycles around sort of thing that you could have sort of thing. You never bothered spending money on them.
And why do you think they should have insurance?
Well, because if they knock anybody down, what's the person that's knocked down going to do, Andy? Now, if I serve my memory right, and I'd have to look it up, in the 70s, there was a lady knocked over by a bicycle at the corner shop Braille filling station. Now, she was very badly injured. I remember about it. I'd have to sort of go through the papers to look for it. But, I mean, What do you do if they knock you down and you break your leg or you break your hip? And you've got to pay for something to be done. Or not only that, you're endangered.
Whenever we talk about bicycles and this subject comes up, you get some people who are keen cyclists saying it's a tiny minority and really all you do is you just hate cyclists.
No, I don't hate cyclists. All my family have been cyclists, Andy. All my grandchildren. No, I don't. And it was when the cycle lane was on the promenade, you was in a death trap because there were grown-up men that belonged to riding teams zooming along and no thought for anybody, pedestrians. Now, I'm not saying they're all the same, but I think overall, from the age of 16, they're allowed to vote at 16, so they've grown up, so they should be made to tax and insurance. It should be bought out right now. And I'd really be glad to hear somebody do something about it, because they use the roads, love. They use the roads.
Okay. Frieda, thanks for being with us today, and take care.
Okay. I must mind as I go out. I'm not knocked over.
Thanks for being with us. Good to talk to you. A note in from Richard in Onchan. Andy, I'm staggered by the amount of people out and about not wearing face coverings at the moment. When, if ever, are these selfish people going to get the message? We have 16 people in Nobles Hospital. We've had a death recently. We have nearly 1,000 active cases. What's wrong with people? Get the message. Be safe. Be safe towards others. Wear a face covering, says Richard in Onchan. Some more notes in. 4 o'clock, by the way. Everybody's asking when the briefing is. It's 4 o'clock this afternoon, and the Chief Minister will be live on Manx Radio, AM, FM, social media channels, on the YouTube channel, and on Facebook. A note in for me, and says, not being disrespectful, but I think the festoon lights are the least of our worries at the moment. My condolences to those who lost another loved one to COVID. Take care, everybody. I'm sure everything will be fine in the end, and we'll get through all this as well. After being to two hubs with my wife for her first vaccination at Douglas Hub, as she came with me to my first vaccination at the airport, both very impressed by the professional and friendly staff in both hubs as well. That's Rob and Fenella. I'm glad everything went well. A note just says, I'm sick of this blame the police culture. These idiots were told to stay at home. This is the get together, the vigil in London. Those idiots were told to stay at home, but they gathered with the sole intention of causing trouble as well. How many MHKs owned buy-to-let properties? I have no idea. That's an anonymous question, rather leading question. If you know something that we don't know, then tell us all about it. Or is that covered by GDPR? Does anybody know how many people in the last year have died of pneumonia on the Isle of Man? What's the normal average for a year compared to how many have died with COVID-related illnesses? Seems nobody has pneumonia or has had pneumonia in the last 10 months. A note in from Tim. I'm not putting words in your mouth, Tim, but what are you insinuating? That all deaths have been attributed to COVID? Well, if you want to drop me a note, clear that up or call, that's great. Driving tests should be happening. Driving examiners should be tested every day with gloves and masks worn, as there are over 500 people waiting for a driving test, says Noah. Is that right? Do you know somebody who's waiting for a driving test? How long have they been waiting as well? Oh, repairs are being completed. They've been finished now for the burst main in Colby, and supply should be restored about now. If you've got discoloured water, if you pardon the expression, run your downstairs or kitchen cold water tap till it clears. So everything is fine. They've mended the burst in Colby as well. Not all young people want to buy a house. My son is a case in point. They live a completely different lifestyle, and renting is very flexible as far as he's concerned, moving with jobs and sometimes even countries, says John as well. I support the doorstep vigil as a way of sending a message that we care very much about keeping our streets and homes safe for girls and women who shouldn't be subject to gender-based abuse. I've experienced a variety of physical assaults and sexual harassment just for being female, says this correspondent as well. Where did that happen? Did that happen on the Isle of Man? Why are people getting two invitation letters for a vaccine? It's been a question on the minds of many people, and we've had lots of correspondence of people saying, I've just got back from having a jab, got back, there's another one. Why are people receiving duplicate correspondence from health authorities? Here's the Health and Social Care Minister, David Ashford, MHK.
People who are in the clinically vulnerable and extremely clinically vulnerable group will get two letters. The reason being that the compiling of those lists is a manual process by the GP. So the GP has to go through their patient records and define who they believe is clinically vulnerable and extremely clinically vulnerable. Everyone's written to as well in their age category. Now, the age category is generated from the health systems, which just simply purely looks at date of birth. If we were to try and filter out those who had received a letter for being clinically vulnerable, then basically that would be a manual process, and it would mean us going through thousands upon thousands of letters to filter those individuals out. That would take a huge amount of staff time, and it would actually risk there being more errors with people perhaps removed from the list incorrectly. So those who are in the clinically vulnerable category will get a second letter. It makes quite clear on the letter saying if you have already been invited, please ignore this letter, because that's actually the most efficient way to send the letters out. In relation to others, we've asked for the GPs, of course, to go back through all the clinically vulnerable to actually check if people have received a letter. So there are some within those categories that may again get a second letter, just as a reminder to be sure that they have received the first.
Thanks for tuning in today. The Man in Line on Manx Radio, with you through till one this afternoon. I'm Andy Wint, and a note in that just says, I'm 62 years of age and very saddened that young women are still experiencing harassment, abduction and death because they are female. We'll go to that vigil that's happening tonight as well. The news about the AstraZeneca as well, if a person suffers blood clots and dies and there's no previous history of the condition but has had the AstraZeneca, can the family claim against the Isle of Man government? Well, you're conflating half a dozen different things there, but we get the picture of what you're saying as well. Why are we allowing house building when there are so many existing houses for sale? There's no point building and building when they're bought up to let. Well, it's a question of supply and demand. It's the old saying, isn't it? Something is worth what somebody is willing to pay for it. And people build houses because they know they'll be sold. And nobody's suggesting that people shouldn't be allowed to purchase a house and then rent it out. It just depends whether or not that's keeping other people from buying houses. And again, it's the old thing about, is it someone's right to buy a house? But certainly for young people today, the message that we get loud and clear is that young people today, particularly young couples and even more young couples with a child, find it very difficult to get on the property ladder. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when we did the budget programme live? Well, it was more than that because it was before lockdown, the budget programme live. Peter Caron, long-time MHK, said, it's a social cancer. Young people not being able to get on the property ladder is a social cancer. Now, this doorstep vigil is going to be held on the Isle of Man in tribute to Sarah Everard, the 33-year-old marketing executive from South London, sparked a global conversation about violence and women. And we'll look at that in a moment. First of all, let's go to Diane. Hello, Diane.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, about this business of the lady who was murdered and the protest in London.
Yeah.
What those lady MPs, which I've seen and heard, right, they were the very people that passed the law for the police to do this, to stop protests. Now they're complaining because they carried out the law. And where were these people who was all gathering for this lady when little Emily had her throat slit in the park by an illegal immigrant? And where were they, these politicians and these crowds, when little Charlene Downs, she was up the north of England, I'm not sure whereabouts, who was said to have ended up in a kebab? And where were they, these people, when these three men, I believe they were gay men, were murdered by another illegal immigrant, or immigrants, I'm not sure, in Reading? But as I understand, this policeman, and I'm not condoning it, don't think that, he wasn't an illegal immigrant. I believe he was I don't know if he was white English or white something else. You know, they're so hypocritical. I just get so mad. It's one rule for one and another rule for people who are probably a lot poorer.
Will you be taking part in this?
No, I certainly will not.
Lighting a candle or a minute silence tonight at 9:30?
No, I will not. Well, they didn't do it for little Emily, they didn't do it for little Charlene, and they didn't do it for those three men who I believe were gay men murdered by an illegal immigrant in Reading. There's not one law for one and one for law for another.
OK, Diane, thank you for your opinion. The killing of this 33-year-old marketing executive from South London sparked a conversation about violence against women. Now, the organisers on the Isle of Man are Women of Man, and they're inviting you to light a candle or a light for a minute silence at 9:30 this evening. This is Stacey Astill, who's from Women of Man.
So we've chosen to arrange this because many people that we know have been affected by this case, not necessarily because it stands out, but because it's one in a long line. It's absolutely awful that this has happened to Sarah, and we're aghast and feel so awful for her family. We're sad, we're angry, we're frustrated, and we feel like we're repeating ourselves over and over and over again in the hope that things change. We wanted to do something to allow us to stand in solidarity with the movements in the UK, to remember Sarah and the other women who have died through male violence, women like Biba Henry, Nicole Smallman, Geeta Goyal, and women whose names we don't necessarily know. So we felt that by doing something, we could at least stand together and do something. Even though it's something small, it's something, and this will hopefully keep the conversation going.
Can you just tell us how you're going to be holding this vigil?
So we're going to hold this as a doorstep vigil. We don't want people to have to worry about gathering or anything else, and we're just asking that people light a candle at 9:30, place it on their doorstep or in their window, and hold a minute's silence just to think of Sarah, Biba, Nicole, Geetika, and other women who have been affected.
When you look at what happened in the UK and the policing there, what's your reaction to that?
I think that the UK is very different. Obviously, the vigil being held there was in Clapham. That's the place that it occurred. It's a very different story there, so I don't feel like it's directly comparable. On the Isle of Man, we've chosen to hold it in this way because we want to make sure that as many people as possible feel comfortable attending and feel comfortable coming together in this way. I was shocked to see the scenes in Clapham, as I think many, many people are. It's been especially difficult to see the images and videos coming out of Clapham. It's horrible to see people being arrested for coming together as a vigil, especially because there is a right to protest. We understand that it's a difficult time, but various other protests have been managed much more sensitively, and it was sad to see the way that things happened.
Stacey Astill from Women of Man, a grassroots feminist organisation on the Isle of Man, who, they say, seek to create a safe and understanding space for debate and discussion.
Milan Vets will care for all your pets in their clinics in Douglas, Castletown and Peel. Along with a dedicated team of fully qualified vets and nurses, Milan Vets offer excellent facilities and on-site diagnostics. Join Milan Vets Pet Health Club for your dogs, cats and rabbits to receive discounts on neutering, dentistry and much more. Call 674 076 or see online at milanvets.co.uk. Caring for all creatures, great and small.
If your business buys professional indemnity or directors and officers liability insurance, you'll be well aware that premiums are rising and cover is being reduced. Aon can talk you through the different exclusions to help you get the best deal. We're one of the largest international insurance specialists, and we're here to help. Call 692 400. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
Good foster carers come in all shapes and sizes and from all walks of life. It's who you are, not what you are, that makes the difference. You could be the one to help a child or young person become part of your family. Show them understanding and help them overcome their experiences. The Mockingbird Programme is a model of care that strives to recreate normal family life for children and young people in foster care. To find out more, including how we support and reward you, call 610000.
Isle of Man farmers markets are still open as normal, but with social distancing precautions in place. So come along and support your local farmers markets, where you can still buy a wide range of fresh, fabulous, great value Manx produce. Just keep 2 metres apart and follow signage and instructions when you visit. For the latest updates, including times and locations, visit iomfm.co.uk or find us on Facebook. Isle of Man Farmers Markets. Please help us to help you.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
All courtesy of the Isle of Man Railway's Time Train.
Did you meet the Rolling Stones, Twiggy or Mary Quant? Do you remember Tipped Weights, Opal Fruits or Jamboree Bags? Did you listen to the latest pop record on Radio Caroline North or Radio Luxembourg? Well, whether the answer is yes or no, Carnaby Street puts you right at the heart of the sights, sounds and atmosphere of one of the most influential periods of social history, the 1960s. Jump on board the Time Train with Isle of Man Railway and me, Chris Williams, every Saturday morning from 8:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 27 minutes before one. Here's Nigel on The Man in Line. Hello, Nigel.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, Andy. This horrible case of this young lady, Sarah Everard, and the off-duty police officer who murdered her.
Allegedly.
There was also mentioned in the Commons the other day that something like 16 women have been murdered in the last year alone, and historically, something like 90% of all murders of women are obviously done by men. I think what we need to do is have the debate in the House of Commons, House of Lords, about the potential of bringing in the death penalty for these types of crimes. It's not a particularly nice thing to have, but I think it's a deterrent. You could trial it for, say, 2 or 3 years to see if it makes a significant difference. I know it's obviously available in a lot of the states in America. It is a horrific thing, but I think as a deterrent, putting it up front will make people think twice about whether they do these horrific crimes.
Now, we've been without the death penalty, in the UK for 60-plus odd years, and in the Isle of Man for less than that, but, of course, it hasn't happened on the Isle of Man for a long time anyway. So why do you think it would work now?
Well, it's not a question of whether it'll work now. I think it will work because men who go out and perhaps roam streets of London looking for women to either pick up or assault. Young women who might be walking across a common or a park or people sitting around. If somebody is of the opinion that they want to either molest them or whatever or significantly worse, including murdering them, I think people will think twice about it. And if they don't, well, then, OK, you can always revert the situation and go back to our current affairs. But I think to have that up front now for a period of a couple of years to say that this is going to be the situation, if you take a life in such a situation, then you will also pay the penalty.
Nigel, thanks for calling today. We appreciate your point.
Thank you. Bye.
How about pedestrian insurance, says this correspondence? Pedestrians hurt people sometimes too. It makes about as much sense as bicycle insurance. Unsigned, that one is as well. I agree with Frida, says another Nigel. Cyclists, when they're approached about ignoring traffic laws, are prone to be extremely aggressive and abusive. Well, it's only a few cyclists. I'm sure most cyclists are fine. And we get back to the old definition of what is a cyclist. There are many types of cyclists. There are sport cyclists, young children. Frida talked about being under 16, perhaps. Children who are on bicycles. There are mountain bikes, off-road cycles, different types of cycles. Which ones? Do you think just the ones that are on the road? Should walkers have insurance in case they get hit by a cyclist with no insurance? Clint, in Port Erin as well. Frieda speaks a lot of sense, says that correspondence as well. There's a large uptake of buy-to-rent properties, mainly from overseas purchasers, where the tax on properties gets paid Isle of Man or UK, says DS. Well, the situation is what the situation is. Properties get built, properties get bought. What concerns me, really, and I think what we're trying to get to is, how do you make the route to purchasing a property as easy as possible for young people who can afford it? How do you do that? Do you have to bring in legislation, or do you make the buy to, Mr. Morehouse was talking about, making the government schemes a lot more accessible for young people so they can, because young people, if they're wanting to buy a property at the moment, look around at property, look at property prices. They're racing away at the moment. And when we come out of lockdown, you can guarantee they will race away as well. So if we're pricing young people out of the property market, what do we say to them when they say, why did you do that? Why do people think that tax and insurance will make safer cyclists? Doesn't make people pay attention behind the wheel of a car, says Dee. Broadway down to the Strand is now a raceway on the path. It's dangerous. It's for pedestrians. We can't walk on the prom side as the road's been used for traffic. Now, the villa gates are closed, which was the way cyclists had used. Now they're flying down the paths under the Villa Marina. Somebody's going to get injured, says Jack as well. And also, I agree with Frieda. Cyclists should pay tax and insurance, and every cyclist should have a registration number. How do you do that? How do you put a registration number on a cycle? How do you enforce that? Diesel vehicles are used multiple times in the process of making a loaf of bread from the field to the supermarket shelf. If tax increases go ahead, how much will a loaf cost, says Mark. Well, it may not go down, let's put it that way. Sue said, Andy, I agree with Frieda. I think bicycle riders should have to be insured and wear a bib with an ID number. Oh, that's how you do it. They have to wear a bib so they can't just ride away, says Sue. I'm astounded at the number of people on the beach walking with masks. Irish Sea Air, no one in sight, but people are wearing masks. Face coverings, they are. So get a grip and stop living in fear. We should be encouraging more people to cycle to make safer roads, not putting unnecessary red tape in their way, says Dee. And Southern Andy says, Andy, I fully agree with Frieda about cycling. Cyclists can be a bit arrogant in their approach to other road and pathway users. They don't have indemnity insurance, can do and do cause expensive damage to property and to vehicles. It's time that cyclists were accountable for their behaviour on the roads. We'll have Mr. Shimmons saying we're the enemy of cyclists soon, so I'd just like to point out that these are correspondents' points of view. Several countries, including Ireland and the Netherlands, have suspended the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine over fears that it causes blood clots. You may have seen this doing the rounds. Maybe something to do with there's a shortage of AstraZeneca in the EU, but the unproven link is under investigation by the EU's health regulator, but both the WHO and UK authorities say the jab is safe. So what do we say on the Isle of Man? Let's go back to David Ashford, MHK, Health and Social Care Minister, talking about the AstraZeneca vaccine that we use on the island.
If the UK did the same, then we would follow suit. I think it's highly unlikely that will happen. I need to reassure people right now, the European Medical Agency has been looking at this. They, at the current time, say there is no need to worry, and the European Medical Agency still state that AstraZeneca should be used. Equally, the World Health Organization has been looking at this, and they say there is absolutely no link they can find between AstraZeneca and this blood clots issue. In fact, actually, out of the 5 million jabs given, and in fact 11 million across Europe and the UK, it's the percentage of people who have gone on to develop blood clots from who've been vaccinated with AstraZeneca is actually lower than you would expect in the ordinary population. So there is absolutely no link, causal link at the moment. The simple fact is that when you vaccinate people, people will still get ill ordinarily. That's always the case after any vaccination. So while some countries appear to be being ultra cautious, at the moment there is absolutely no established link between AstraZeneca and any such problem.
That's Health and Social Care Minister David Ashford. And if you know somebody who's having an AstraZeneca jab today, you can reassure them. D&JP 501, push bikes do zero damage to the roads, but there are idiots who ride bikes and take up most of the roads. Does that mean all cyclists that use the roads are selfish? No, it's a minority. And D&JB think it's the Lycra Brigade that take up the space on the road as well. A few years ago, a push bike ran into the side of my car, causing an expensive repair bill. If I'd run into the same cyclist, I would have had to give my insurance details and name and everything else. So surely it should work the other way around. Yes, we should compare ourselves to other jurisdictions. Our government needs some common sense. The Kent variant has ripped through other countries and was always going to do the same here. New Zealand had one case and immediately went back into lockdown. If only our government had looked at the other countries, says Dave as well. I'm sorry for the family that's lost someone, says Dick. Sadly, we're going to see more if people continue as they are. We live on the main road outside of Oncombe, and I was shocked to see so many people breaking restrictions at the weekend. There were children gathered on street corners, cars full of teenagers going by, not a mask in sight. We even had one of our neighbours merrily saying they were going out for Sunday lunch at their daughter's. I guess the Chief Minister saying, don't visit your mother, meant it was okay for you to visit them. So what's going on? Surely we need to start clamping down and fining people. Says Dick, the virus kills. It won't end until everyone realises this. We've been too complacent for too long. We're all in this together. None of us is safe until we're all safe. Do you know somebody who's breaking the lockdown? Do you know some people? Do you see people who are doing it? Do you see people who genuinely think it doesn't apply to them? Do you remember Dr. Hewitt saying human beings are very good at justifying things, saying, well, I should do, but just this once I won't? How do you react to that? What do you do if somebody just plain and simple says, this doesn't apply to me?
You need the right person for the job, and you need them now, but you don't have the time to wade through applications. Then narrow your search and fill your vacancy with a perfect candidate at Orchard Recruitment. Specialising in the financial and IT sectors, Orchard has access to a broad spectrum of candidates, from both on and off island, whether permanent, contract or part-time staff. For a professional and personalised approach, visit orchardrecruitment.com.
Orchard Recruitment, a refreshing change.
Free quote, buy one, get one free. 25% off today only.
Tired of being shouted at with window and door offers that are always too good to be true? Want honest, trustworthy and reliable advice from your local window and door installer that has your interests at heart? Then call Manx Glass and Glazing, members of the premier UK Craftsman Independent Network, backed by the UK's number one name in windows, Vika, with a 10-year guarantee on all installations. Call Manx Glass and Glazing today on 674-573.
When it comes to home maintenance and building work, how many times have you been let down? Then try
loveyourhome.im.
Love Your Home offer everything from routine home maintenance to major building projects. So if you've a leaky tap or need a new bathroom, get in touch through the free user-friendly Love Your Home app or our website. With fast response, free quotations, reliable workmanship and the flexible option of pay per job or by an annual maintenance agreement. Your home loved by our family.
Love Your Home.
This is a tough time for the island's businesses, but Manx Radio is here to help. Right now, we're offering special rates to let you get your message across to potentially over 49,000 listeners even more cost-effectively. Whatever your business, whatever its size, call our sales team now on 682 600 or email sales@manxradio.com to find out more. And get the power of Manx Radio working for your business.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Absolutely loads of emails and texts into this. I'll just get through a few as well. Not sure if I misheard you about pneumonia, says Matt. Do you say there's been no cases over the past 10 months? Only ask us. My uncle is in hospital now with pneumonia. Sorry if I misheard. Just wanted to clarify. Thank you for clearing that up, Matt. No, it was a gentleman sent a text in who, by implication, I think he was trying to say nobody died through pneumonia, so they were putting all the deaths as COVID deaths. This is something that a few people have said, that that COVID deaths are now being apportioned to everything. I don't know whether it's a conspiracy theory on their behalf, just to say that the COVID deaths aren't as big as they should be. But if I hear from the gentleman again, I'll and he wants to explain it, that'd be great. We own an empty ground floor flat in a building of six flats. Can we go in and decorate it or not? We're not sure if this is possible. We can't find the answer on the government site, says Mary. Anybody see through that? If somebody owns that empty ground floor flat in a building of six flats, can they go in and decorate it? Mary, thank you for that. We'll take a look at that. If anybody knows what the answer is, then please get in touch as well. Is it possible to pass on a question for the COVID briefing? How many of the current 818 positive cases has been vaccinating? Vaccinated, says H. Is there any link? I completely agree with the lady about bicycles paying some kind of tax and insurance, says Liz in Douglas. I think we should stay safe. Well, it could be an election issue, couldn't it? It could be that we put it through to would-be politicians just to see if it would be a way of earning more money. Imagine if cyclists had to pay 10, 20, 30 pounds a year to register themselves. Just a thought, isn't it? Alison dropped a note into me and just said, I'm hoping my question can be read out today. According to the BMJ, countries like Ireland, Norway, Netherlands, Denmark, Iceland, Bulgaria, Estonia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Romania, Latvia, Thailand, Congo have all suspended the AstraZeneca about fears of blood clotting issues. Well, you heard what Mr. Ashford had to say earlier on about what his view was of that, Alison. A message in just said, can you ask the Minister for Health if we have any of the batch ABV5300? Apparently this is linked to the blood clot concern. Perhaps that's going to be raised this afternoon then for the government media briefing. 4 o'clock this afternoon it is as well. Tommy, I hope you can read this out. I've had two doses of COVID vaccine, but I felt a bit poorly. No serious problems, but I do have concerns. The UK media has announced several European states have halted a certain vaccine due to health and safety concerns. Many doctors have signed an open letter to stop the rollout until we have more substantial evidence, says Tommy. I'm not insinuating... Oh, it's Tim, by the way. I'm not insinuating everything's going down as COVID. I'm just interested as to why it seems nobody has pneumonia this year. Perhaps a government official could explain. Hopefully it's not like the UK, where it's easier for some reason to record deaths as COVID. Thanks for clearing that up, Tim. And you heard Matt earlier on just say a member of his family is in hospital with pneumonia. And C, who says, Andy, regarding the lady on about cyclists, I'm 65. I ride a bicycle on a regular basis, keeps me fit, and it is my sanity during lockdown. We've got three vehicles in our family. We pay over £500 in road tax. Our cars stay on the drive when we're out on the bikes, so no pollution, no damaging roads. We also have a British cycling licence, which covers us for third-party insurance. Now, many cyclists, says C, have these licences that give them insurance. The commute licence can be paid for annually. The information is on the British Cycling website. Well, that's something I didn't know. I've learnt something today. The British Cycling Licence gives third-party insurance. Thanks for that information as well. I think it's going to be unfair for mums and dads to pay for a school uniform for next term, says John as well. My mum hasn't had a letter yet for her jab. She's 61 and has underlying health issues. She had a heart attack back last year. I just wonder how many people are in the same boat. I was checking up on this, anonymous correspondent. Clinically vulnerable people have been invited to register for COVID-19. Letters inviting residents aged between 16 and 64 who are clinically vulnerable to register for their vaccination. They're now being sent out. The rollout program looks towards protecting the next priority group against serious illness caused by COVID-19. Now, once you get a letter, You're asked to register for the vaccine online or by calling 111. After registration, the 111 team will be back in touch by email, letter or phone with the two appointment dates. So that's clinically vulnerable people aged between 16 and 64 should be getting the letters, certainly this week. I just wonder where you were at Ramsey Cottage Hospital on Saturday. 260 residents from the north of the island were vaccinated or were due to be vaccinated at that pop-up clinic at Ramsey Cottage Hospital. It was by the Martin Ward, I think, as well. You didn't go through the main hospital entrance as well. So if you're at the Ramsey pop-up centre at the weekend, it'd be nice just to hear from you how it all went and what the situation is. Lots of people have been advocating that there should be a permanent one there, but it'd be nice to know how the pop-up one went. My theory regarding cyclists, says Bri, is the police have an agenda of leaving cyclists alone due to the active travel remit. That's why they get away with riding pavements through red lights, riding two abreast or more as well. Well, it still is technically against the bylaws. Now, if you walk down Strand Street in Douglas, walk down for half an hour, you're bound to see somebody. In daylight hours, there will be some Herbert cycling down Strand Street. Now, whether they're just ignorant of the rules or whether they know the rules and couldn't care less, but it's often as well that you see people, and sometimes groups, it's inevitably young men, but, you know, doing wheelies, having fun in Strand Street. Well said, Diane. The streets aren't safe for anyone. Anyone. Bring back proper punishments. How many protesters would support the death penalty? When you see what's happened in the UK and the fact that women aren't safe, I mean, walking through any big city, a woman walking on her own will obviously have a sense of caution. Just makes you wonder and marvel, really, how privileged we are on the island that you can walk around day or night and do it in relative safety. Peter on the man in line now. Hello, Peter.
Hi. Just a point, really, on this poor girl that got murdered in London. They held a vigil, which is okay normally, but when there's a COVID on, surely when they're told not to go, they shouldn't go. And then they start moaning about getting arrested for doing it. I mean, there's always a certain amount of people that go to these rallies that are there to cause trouble. Now, whether the police did right or wrong, that's another thing. But if the people weren't there in the first place and did as well, they were told to stay at home, it wouldn't have happened.
There were several placards there. The old defund the police placards were there. So you do think, to some extent, there were people there trying to politicise this?
Well, there always is, isn't there? You've only got to look at these BLM rallies, and there's professional ones that go around at all these meetings just to cause trouble, and especially at the police.
So how do you feel about this vigil that's on the Isle of Man tonight then? It's a minute with a candle or just standing by the door. Is that more appropriate?
Yes, of course it is. Everybody will be in their own houses, and there's no chance of COVID getting spread. My point is that when people are told not to go in the first place, because of what we're going through at the moment, no mass gatherings, then they all turn up, then they have a moan at the police for trying to disperse it when it's against the law to do it in the first place.
Okay. Oh, Peter, thanks for calling us.
Okay. Bye.
5-1 on Manx Radio. As a pensioner with little spare money, I'm not surprised at the Ballasalla estate being bought to let. There's no return to be had for your savings. So why doesn't the government start a COVID bond at 2.5%, get some funds for the government, help the Isle of Man, says John. It's a thought. When we asked the Treasury Minister, do you remember last year, Alfred Cannon was on the man in line, and we said, any chance of, you know, launching a bond if the government wants more money, the government could. And he said flatly, we don't really need to. We don't need the money, and money is so cheap anyway in the money markets that really,
No.
Spot on, Diane. Another distraction. Freedoms are stripped, says Rob. And a mention in, it's sad what's happened, but still most murders are on men as well. What about the 6:30 curfew on men proposed by the Green Party? This is the UK, by the way, nothing to do with the Isle of Man. Discrimination, and people who want this are also the people who say you can't blame everybody for terrorism. Double standards, says that. I agree with Diane, says Marie. Well, that vigil is tonight, put together by the Women of Man tonight. Oh, thanks to Barry Redfern, producing on the Man in Line today. Briefing at 4, don't forget.